Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program, and also the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community right here in Sacramento, California. We bring you these radio broadcasts on Saturdays on KFIA Radio to address the topic Ancient Future Christian Faith. And what in the world is Ancient Future Christian Faith? Our hope is to bring you an array of very interesting guests and authors and pastors and theologians who talk about this from their very interesting and divergent perspectives. And today we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Dr. Lisa Deem. She's an award-winning author and a speaker who uses art of the Christian past to illuminate contemporary faith. She was drawn to the Ancient Future Faith Network, where she is a member, because of her interest in medieval maps, which she believes to be an important early church resource for renewing our faith and worship in the here and now today. She leads spiritual formation workshops using medieval maps. By the way, I can't wait to ask you about that, Lisa. And medieval spiritual principles to shed light on our personal journeys with Christ. She has a PhD from the University of Chicago and is an active member of her church. Lisa, welcome to the program. So glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, what is it that started you on this journey of medieval maps of all things? I'll bet that's not even something on most people's radars. And what an interesting and colorful area. What got you started?
Well, I'll tell you, and you're right, it is not on many people's radars today. I began studying the medieval maps as part of my dissertation research, and they're a wonderful thing to study as a scholar. But as I delved more into them, the maps began speaking to me not only as a scholar, but also as a Christian. They were really speaking to my faith. And somewhere down the road, I ended up leaving academia, but I took the maps with me because I think they have so much to say to Christians today.
Lisa, what were the common threads that you began to see in these maps that sort of waved a flag and said, hey, there are some interesting Christian spiritual principles going on here? Was it obvious? Was it kind of a hidden or tacit thing that you kind of unraveled? Or exactly what did you begin to see?
Well, the most striking feature of the maps, it's also the most obvious one that I saw right away and that I think that people can cling to and see right away when they look at the maps. And that is that on a certain group of medieval world maps produced around the year 1300, put the city of Jerusalem at the center of the known world.
Wow.
And not only that, they illustrated the city of Jerusalem, usually by showing something about Jesus and his sacrifice for the world.
Wow. That must have just leapt off the page at you because you are not only an academician, but also a believer.
Yes, it did. It leapt off at me, and I thought, what a wonderful picture of a Christ-centered world, which is what we long for and are trying to live out as Christians.
Sure.
And some of the other lessons or wonderful features of the maps, they take a little longer to explore, or I learned about them gradually. But that one feature that jumps out that enfolds all the other wonderful features of the maps is that they show a Christ-centered earth.
This may be a very elementary question, but I want to make sure everybody is sort of up to speed on the time period that we're talking about. So the 1300s or around the year 1300, is that what you're talking about principally?
Yes, roughly so. The most well-known of the maps of which I'm talking is called the Hereford Map, and it was made right around the year 1300.
In England?
In England, okay. And it still hangs in Hereford Cathedral today, which is where it was displayed after it was created.
Oh, wow. In its original form?
It's the original map.
Wow.
Is right there for visitors to see.
By the way, how big is it?
Well, actually, the maps range in size, but the Hereford map is quite large. It's about 4 feet in diameter. So it's a fairly monumental image of the world.
I understand that many of these maps, and correct me if I'm wrong, are also very colorfully, what would you say, illustrated or illuminated. Is that the case?
They are. And that is what makes them so fun to study, either as a scholar or as a Christian or as someone who is just interested in history. They show so many facets of the medieval world, from cities and trade networks to colorful pictures of animals, some real and some more imaginary, that just delight the eye.
The maps that you principally studied, were they European, or were you looking at maps and map sources from literally all over the world?
Well, the ones that I am focusing on and that do show this Christ-centered world are maps made in Europe and for Western viewers.
Did you get to look and hold these sources, these original sources? Where do you go to see one of these things?
Oh, that's a great question. Some of them I did get to see and hold, because probably the maps survive in their greatest number as manuscript miniatures, that is, small pictures, you know, within a handwritten book. So my introduction to medieval world maps was through some of these very small manuscript pictures that I got to study when I was doing my dissertation research in Belgium. Some of the larger maps I have not seen in person, but thanks to, you know, the wonderful world of technology today,
right,
we can call up really good reproductions, mm-hmm, you know, on the internet, and then we can also go to see them when we're in Europe too.
Right.
The most famous one being in Hereford Cathedral,
right,
and another map known as the Ebstorf map, which is even larger than the Hereford map.
Wow.
There is a reproduction of that map in the convent at Ebstorf, where it was also made to hang all those years ago.
Where did you live in Belgium?
I was based in Brussels.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I did much of my research at the Royal Library of Belgium, which has a wonderful late medieval manuscript collection, and several of those manuscripts do contain these beautiful world maps.
And the topic of your thesis or your dissertation was what, Lisa?
I wrote on a manuscript made for a 15th century French prince, Philip the Good, who was third Valois Duke of Burgundy. And I studied one of his manuscripts that related the history of the world from the creation all the way up until around the year 1422.
Oh, wow.
And this manuscript has a wonderful series of about 65 miniatures or illustrations, and one of those was a world map.
Lisa, would explorers or traders or sailors, etc., have had copies of these maps with them as they traveled? Was that why they are small?
I would say that these world maps that show the Christ-centered worldview were really not meant so much for traders and explorers. They did show what was known and believed about the world, and some of them are fairly up-to-date in some of their features and cities. However, alongside these world maps, there were growing to be other classes of maps, such as Portolan charts that show accurate coastlines and distances, and those maps were more used to guide travelers and explorers.
More like maps useful for navigation.
Yes, these world maps that I am talking about and want to explore preserved a more traditional view of the past.
Uh-huh.
They were intimately linked to history,
I see.
To telling the story of the world, God's story, along and unfolding within that stories about geography and nations and people.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Lisa Deem. She is completing a book on medieval world maps as tools for spiritual reflection. And when she's not roaming around in the Middle Ages, she lives in Mooresville, North Carolina, with her husband and two kids. She has a PhD from the University of Chicago. And we're talking today about medieval maps, but also how they overlay with Christianity, how they are embedded with Christianity and Christian themes. And there's something also about maps and medieval maps in particular that are ancient future that I'm hoping we can talk about a little bit. You said a minute ago, Lisa, that one of the first things that leapt off the page at you when you were examining these maps was that Jerusalem was at the center, the idea that Christ and the Christ event is at the center of the world. Were there a couple of other little items, maybe not so obvious, that struck you as particularly Christocentric?
Well, yes. As you get to know the maps and explore them, you begin to see that Christ on the maps is at the center of the world space. He's also on the maps at the center of time.
Oh, wow. Explain that.
So the maps really show the meta-narrative of the Bible. They show God's story unfolding from the beginning to the end, so that Christ at the center is the center of space and at the center of history.
And of time itself, yes?
And of time itself.
Yeah.
And this is especially true of the most well-known of these maps today, which is the Hereford map in Hereford Cathedral in England.
Mm-hmm.
And that map actually shows the Garden of Eden at the top of the map.
Wow.
That was called Earthly Paradise in the Middle Ages. It shows the birth of sin into the world, another chapter in the history of the world. It goes on to show redemption through the cross of Christ at the center.
Wow.
And this map even goes full circle. Back at the top of the map, above Earthly Paradise, we see the return of Jesus to judge the living and the dead, overseeing the world. So it really takes us from, in the words of Robert Weber, from creation to consummation. We see the whole story unfolding in one vivid picture.
Yeah, they're in one place, in one map, literally and figuratively. You've got the whole sweep of salvation history. I love that. Two maybe kind of quirky questions occur to me, but you're just exactly the right person to answer them. I've been thinking lately about how in the Bible there are at least a couple of images associated with chaos. One of them, as you know, is the wilderness, but also it's a frequent, or at least more than occasional, symbol in the Bible that the sea represents chaos. Is it true that in some of these early maps, the sea is shown to be a place of danger or chaos or unknown? Is that the case?
Yes, in a real way it is. On the maps, the three inhabited continents of the world, Europe, Asia, and Africa, they nestle closely together within the circle of the earth. And surrounding those three continents is the river ocean.
Ah.
So the sea or the ocean surrounds the land masses. And the edges of the map, remember we're talking about a map drawn as a circle.
Yes.
And when you move from the center of the map to the circumference of that circle, you are moving closer and closer to the edge. Sort of the edge of all known things. And what lies beyond that, you know, that's sort of the great beyond or chaos or the edge of all things. So it does get a little wilder and more dangerous around the edges of the map.
Well, which reminds me, is it the Hereford map that shows strange beasts and say, there are beasts here or there be beasts?
Yes, it does. It doesn't really use that phrase. But on the Hereford map, as on several others, there are a series of strange creatures on the edge of the world,
that
would be the southern edge of the continent of Africa. And those creatures were known as the monstrous races. I like to call them just the monsters for short. And yes, they sort of symbolize the dangerous or unknown parts of the world, at least according to Western eyes. They represented maybe more unexplored territories. And also in a symbolic way, I think they represented some parts of the Christian story or, you know, some of our psychological fears and needs that we want to push away as much as we can to the edge,
To the outer edges of what we know.
Yes, we like to think that we can do that.
You know, here's the second quirky question I promised you, too. When you said a minute ago that these maps, at least in your view, seem to indicate Christ not only at the center of the story, but the center of time, my mind went immediately to the quest in navigation to accurately measure both latitude and longitude. And I'm curious to know, this may be just complete speculation, and forgive me, but I got to ask you. Do you think that even at this early stage in the medieval map-making world, that cartographers had an idea that time was important when it came to speculating about distance and direction?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if I have thought too much about that.
Because you remember, at the very center of the quest to accurately measure longitude is how to accurately measure time. particularly at sea with the rolling of the waves and so on and so forth. And mm-hmm. I saw a wonderful documentary about the quest to define latitude and longitude mm-hmm. and the notion of time. And it just occurs to me that because Christ is at the center of time, because the Christ event is both ancient and future and yeah. has a way of defining time, I just wonder if medieval cartographers had a notion about that.
Well, perhaps in one way. Now, it is true that on Portolan charts or Ptolemaic cartography, as people became more interested in accurate renderings of space, that gradually Jerusalem became displaced from the center of the world. Because, you know, as the world continued to expand through exploration and mapping, it could not really be seen scientifically as the center anymore.
Right.
So it did begin to shift. But certainly on the older maps, they did link time intimately with space, especially when considering the whole of history.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Lisa Deem. She is an award-winning author, and she uses art of the Christian past to illuminate modern faith. She's a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network, and she's got a wonderful book on medieval world maps and their Christ-centered worldview coming out in the spring. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But Lisa, I said earlier that you are one who leads spiritual formation workshops using medieval maps and medieval spiritual principles to shed light on our personal journeys with Christ. Walk us through that a little bit. What would it be like to be in one of your spiritual formation workshops?
Well, one of the ways I love to run a workshop like this is to first introduce people to the maps visually mm-hmm. through showing many of their wonderful illustrations, because these are resources that are just unknown to many Christians
today. Yeah, for sure.
And I think it's such a rich part of our spiritual heritage that I want people to know about them. So I introduce it. We take a tour of the medieval world. We look at some of the quirky illustrations in each continent.
Neat.
And we circle around and look at the fact that Jerusalem is shown at the center of the world
mm-hmm.
and emphasize how that takes us right back to the Bible, to what we believe about Jesus. As Paul wrote in Colossians, that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Mm-hmm.
And how that picture is what we see on so many of these medieval world maps. But I also want to show, you know, how the maps can go with us and guide us on our own walk of faith.
How so?
So then I like to lead participants in workshops through a mapping exercise.
Oh.
Where we create step-by-step maps of our spiritual world or our spiritual lives. And these are based on the medieval world map.
Uh-huh.
They represent us, parts of our lives. And the goal here is to see that every part of our life, just as in every continent on the map, Christ can be found at the center.
Oh, I love it.
So one of the most arresting ways that we can see that is if we think about the continent of Africa on medieval maps, that is where the monstrous creatures lived, on the edge of Africa.
Yes.
So if we think about the monsters in their symbolic role and how we might travel to strange and monstrous lands in our everyday life, in our walk of faith, lands of fear, of the unknown, situations that we cannot control, maybe a pain. So we all walk through that territory every day. Yet, in this territory, as in every other, Christ reigns at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And so the maps remind us that wherever we go, we can reorient ourselves. We can turn around and face Jerusalem and cling to the center of the world. Because there at the center, Jesus died to defeat the monsters our lives.
Yeah. I love this. You're using ancient maps to help us map out our spiritual journey in the here and now. I love it. Hey, you've got to come out here and do a workshop. Would you be interested in doing that? I'd love to have you come to Sacramento.
I would love to come.
Oh, boy, that would be wonderful.
I love doing the workshops. You know, people seem to understand them. You don't have to be a history buff or anything to see, you know, this beautiful Christ-centered world unfolding. And I love to lead people in workshops to see this part of their heritage and how it can help them.
Oh, it sounds absolutely wonderful. And I can't wait for what I know will be a wonderful book. Tell us a little bit about it, title, that kind of thing, publisher. And when's it coming out? We got to get a copy.
Okay. Well, the book is titled, at least tentatively, A World Transformed, Exploring the Spirituality of Medieval Maps.
Mm.
And it is coming out sometime in the spring of 2015.
Okay,
so
this,
a few months away.
Yeah, this coming
year. And
the
publisher is Cascade Books, which is a division of Whitfin Stock Publishers. And the title, A World Transformed, just alludes to how we can see, following the medieval example of maps, how we can see our world transformed by the intimate presence of Jesus being at the center of all things.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the fascinating things to me about the rise of scholasticism in the church and of sort of the whole Enlightenment era and its philosophies, and I'm absolutely certain, though I'm no expert, that this must have had a huge impact on the world of map making as well, is that it had effect, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it must have had the effect of removing Christ from the center and putting humankind at the center. Am I on the right track there?
I think so. I think that's a message that we often hear today. Well, we certainly hear it all around us. And sometimes we even hear it in church today. We go to church and sometimes we want to hear about us and how things begin and end with us and our needs, which we may have dire needs. And so medieval maps can return us to a way of thinking where, you know, we see that the story is about God and the story that he is telling about the world. And then we can find ourselves enfolded within this story. But I think it's important to begin with God and with Christ at the center. And then we see how that story is big enough to include each one of us.
I would have never thought about a map being a wonderful way to point us to our true, I guess it makes sense, doesn't it? To point us to our true north, Jesus Christ, and there being some ancient future spirituality in there. What a wonderful conversation, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, if somebody wanted to be in touch with you and maybe ask more questions or get some information from you, perhaps a website or an email link, would you like to mention that?
Yeah, I have a website. It is lisadeem.com, and that is all one word, lisadeam.com. And there is a contact form on that webpage. I would love for anyone to fill out that contact form and write to me. And I can also be reached at the email address, lisa@lisadeem.com.
Perfect. Well, I can't wait for the book to come out, and I've promised you, and we will definitely do this, let's make sure that we have another interview in the spring when the book comes out so people know about it.
Wonderful.
And I am serious about having you out here for a retreat. It would be absolutely wonderful. And what
I'd love to come.
What great images, too. Oh, I just can't wait.
They are.
Lisa Deem, thank you so much for joining me today. What a treat. I'm so grateful.
Thank you, Chris.
Folks, you've been listening to an interview with Lisa Deem. She's an award-winning author. Her specialty is spiritual formation and using medieval maps and medieval spiritual principles to shed light on our journey with Christ. And she's given you some wonderful information there about how you can be in touch with her. Look forward to having her book come out and having her come out to Sacramento maybe to visit with us. Until we gather again next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to remember this and think about it. The road to our evangelical future surely does run through our ancient Christian past. See you next time, and the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings starting after Thanksgiving, but also please join us for a special and unique service of Advent scripture readings and carols on Sunday night, November 30th at 6 p.m. Find all the information on the web at Epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.